When some loud bragger tries to put me down and says his school is great, I tell him right away, now what's a man?
Wake up, Denver.
You know, shades of Bo. This has got to be Bo music.
It is. It's better than Leslie Gore, though.
It is. You're listening to You Get the Blessing with Chuck King, sitting in for Bo Mitchell along with Bob Belts.
Chuck, I'm glad you're sitting in for Bo, because that's a tough seat to fill. But I want to thank you for sitting in for me for a while, because I've kind of been in Bo's position, having to be doing something else. But our good friend Bo is doing Rocky's business, and this morning, today I'll be doing some chapel for them, I think. So anyway, but thanks for you coming, Chuck. Because you're one of my heroes, of course.
Well,
so.
I got fired from being you because I don't know enough Bible.
Yeah, not quite, anyway. Oh, gosh. Hey, that's a good song, anyway, because we are having quite a bit of school stuff, I guess, this morning.
Lots
between
good...
you and our guests all being part of Colorado Christian University. So,
yeah, we got a couple great guests this morning, two great friends of ours. Paul Eldridge, who's the Vice President of Development for Colorado Christian University, and Dr. Gary Ewan, who's the Dean of the School of Business. Paul, tell us what's going on at CCU right now. It's an exciting time.
Yeah, good morning, Chuck, and good morning, Bob. Thanks for having us out this morning. All kinds of great things happening at Colorado Christian University. We have record enrollment this year. We've had record enrollment for the past number of years. We've got about 1,200 traditional undergraduate students at CCU. And about 4,500 adult and graduate students. So we're pushing 6,000 in our total enrollment.
Amazing impact.
Yeah, really incredible. So God's doing some really good things there. Many of you know that Colorado Christian University is celebrating its 100th anniversary this year. So
I didn't know that.
Yes, 100 years in Denver. Started in 1914 as Denver Bible Institute.
Yeah.
Turned into Rockmont College, name change, and then a number of mergers in the 80s with Western Bible Institute, Western Bible College, and then ultimately with Colorado Baptist University, and became CCU. So,
and the great thing about it, from my perspective, I'm very proud to say that CCU is right on track from its beginnings in terms of where they stand spiritually. We haven't moved from the bubble.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. And that's pretty unique anymore, because as you guys know, and probably a lot of our listeners don't, there's a lot of schools that started out. It's interesting, even the Ivy League schools really started out as seminaries to teach the Bible. And of course, we've kind of drifted a bit from there. But yeah, CCU has really kind of, you know, been a standard bearer there. So as an outsider, I'm just saying, good job, guys.
Thanks, Bob. One of the things that I like to say, and this is not original to me, but at Colorado Christian University, we take our middle name very seriously.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Christ is in and at the center of all we do at CCU. President Armstrong has said, and has said quite seriously, you know, the day that CCU takes Christ out of the center of all we do, his prayer is that God would strike the campus with a bolt of lightning and burn it to the ground. Now, I'm hoping I'm not there.
Today. I never pray like that,
by
the way.
I know.
Just in case.
So, Paul, before we move from you, give us a thumbnail of how you got to CCU and a little bit about your background.
Absolutely. You know, I've been passionate about Christian higher education since I was a kid. I started at another small Christian university similar to CCU at 17 years old, straight out of high school. Had a really profound experience there. My background's law. Went to law school after my undergrad.
That's a very high calling.
Gee, wait. Christian lawyer. I'm going to have to go home, I think. So.
Well, I actually attended a Christian law school, which they say is kind of an oxymoron. But anyway, was in law and got a call from my alma mater and said, hey, which not CCU, would you come and do some development work for us, fundraising? No background in fundraising at all. This is about 12 years ago, a little more than 12 years ago. Was there for about 8.5 years and then got a call from Bill Armstrong and to ask if I'd think about coming out to CCU and coming up on my fourth year, and just absolutely thrilled with what's happening at CCU, and just really an honor and a privilege to be a part of God's good work at CCU.
Hey, let's go back a little further, just for the sake of our listeners that might not know half of what we're talking about, which would include me not knowing half what I'm talking about. No. Tell us a little bit about, you know, your own background, your own spiritual journey that kind of led up to where
Absolutely.
You are.
Yeah. So grew up in a Christian home. My dad was an elder in the church. I mean, I'll actually go back just for a second, even further than that. My dad was an alcoholic, not a believer, was just a complete disaster, and got saved at 26 and met my mom at 27 and got saved. And so I grew up in a Christian home by the grace of God, and initially prayed to receive Jesus when I was a little kid, 6 years old, at a child evangelism fellowship meeting. And but then, you know, as you grow older, you come to understand who Jesus is more and more. I think we come to understand as we grow older our need for him more and more. Mm-hmm. So, but I had a really, you know, if I, I'd almost call it a born again experience. If I could say that, when I was in my undergrad years, and I learned more about this huge, the awesomeness of God's grace. It really wasn't about grace for me much. I mean, I understood it, right, intellectually. Mm-hmm. But there's this sense, at least in my life, and I think this is the case for a lot of folks that grow up in the faith, in the Christian faith, and that is it's performance-based, mm-hmm. right? So my faith was all about doing the right things in order to make God happy with me. You know, God will love me more if, fill in the blank, whatever it is. And I began to understand that God's love was beyond anything I could ever earn, beyond ever anything in terms of a brownie point system. And that was a really profound turning point for me. And that was in my undergrad years at a small Christian university. So
good. That is terrific. I've had the pleasure of meeting your dad. He's a great guy. You mentioned that, Bill Armstrong asked you to come to CCU. I know a little bit about working for Bill. The guy's got no vision and no energy, right?
Exactly. Yeah, Bill Armstrong is so inspiring. It's incredible. I mean, I remember the first meeting I had with him. And I should back up. Bill asked me to come. That sounds a little, you know, check me out. What happened was there was an executive search firm that knew Bill. And they happened to have my paperwork, and they said, would you be interested in us submitting this to mm-hmm. Bill Armstrong? I said, well, sure, why not? I didn't know anything about CCU. I didn't know anything about Colorado. But Bill Armstrong has such a vision and is so passionate for what's happening at CCU. Of course, he's that way in terms of whatever he's involved in. But it has been a privilege, a pleasure, a joy to work for him and to kind of be a part of what's happening under his leadership at CCU. Mm. Yeah.
One of the things we're going to talk about at CCU, we also have with us today Dr. Gary Ewan, who's the Dean of the School of Business. And one of the stakes that President Armstrong has driven in the ground is that not only will we take our middle name seriously, Christian, we'll take university seriously. Tell us about that, Gary.
You bet. The School of Business and Leadership, as you well know, Chuck, our motto is the pioneering witness for Christ in the workplace is competence. So we really focus in on making our students very, very competent in everything that they're asked to do, demonstrably so. So as an example, every business student at the university has to take a course in computer applications. And in order to get an A for that course, they have to pass 3 different Microsoft Office specialist certification exams.
And be able to hack NSA is what I heard also. So that's good. True. That's a big part of that, yeah.
And last fall, our pass rate was 100% for Word, 100% for Excel, and 95% for Access. So we deliver on our promise of making our students competent. And then our secondary motto is the enduring witness for Christ in the workplace is character. And that's one of the things that our students hit the workplace once they're placed after graduation. They don't go out into the workplace values neutral. They really understand how to do things, how to get things done, how to do things in the right way as well. And we've grown the School of Business and Leadership now to over a quarter of CCU students are all in the School of Business and Leadership. We expect a lot from them. We make them dress up on Thursdays in business formal. We never accept late work and things like that. We have regular business formal events that they attend. As a matter of fact, a big one coming up is our Values Aligned Leadership Summit, which we'll talk about in a little bit.
Belts, not only do you not have the character, you don't have the wardrobe.
I'm, you know, when I get invitations, you know, I, along with the other stuff I do work a bit of the time out in LA, and my primary role is at the level of script development. So I work with writers a lot. And I just like to say, when I get these invitations saying business attire, you know, most of the writers wear, you know, t-shirts and jeans. So, you know, I'm thinking, well, do I go like that? So anyway, but I have my Thursday business attire on today. So radio clothes.
You look really nice. Yeah, yeah, you're the only guy in the room without a tie.
I am. And I feel pretty good about that, actually. No, I'm just kidding.
Gary, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you ended up at CCU. You're a fixture there now. You've been there about as long as anybody.
I've been there 28 years now. Mm. I was working down in Denver at Martin Marietta and doing the commute every day, listening to KWBI radio, Joe Wall, the president of CCU, the good news guy. Mm. And I thought I would volunteer a little bit of my services in computerizing their admissions office, and so I did that. And then about a year later, Richard Letourneau from Letourneau University came up to help Joe figure out how to run a university. And he said, you got to computerize this place. Do you know anybody? Said, well, there was this guy a year ago. And so Richard and I got together, and they made me an offer that I could easily refuse. But the hound of heaven was after me. And so brought me to CCU back in the day, both as an administrator, as the chief technology officer, and as a member of the faculty. And that was back in the day when we could fit the entire faculty in a 15-passenger van. And it's been wonderful to see it grow and so on over the years. It's just been a joy. And one of the biggest things that I'm most proud about is the fact that we have retained our faith posture, that schools, as you mentioned, the Ivy Leagues and so many other Christian schools, you know, fade away after a while, and many of them disappear as a result. And it's been a real joy to watch the university grow and flourish like it is.
You're listening to You Get the Blessing with Bob Belts, and this is Chuck King sitting in for Bo Mitchell, and we have with us today Paul Eldridge and Gary Ewan from Colorado Christian University, and we're going to be talking about vowels here in a little bit. But before we do that, Gary, Paul has told us a little bit about his background. I know you have a similar background. You grew up a great kid, right?
Yeah, that's right. Paul, you know, mentioned that he really needed to work on the deeds part, you know, doing the right thing. Somehow I missed that part, and I focused in on the grace part. So even after coming to Christ, it took me a few years to quit stealing cars and doing some of those things and so on. But I actually went on a Young Life trip way back when, out here to Colorado, to Frontier Ranch. Hmm. The only reason I went was because I was interested in this nice blonde gal.
And well, that's how Young Life works, by the way.
Absolutely, that's right. And so I went out there, and the speaker was Don Reverts.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
And so he presented the gospel message, and I responded, and it was life-changing. It really was. Of course, as I mentioned, you know, it took me a few years to square away a few old habits and things like that, but it was pretty fun. And then I knew that I wanted to live in Colorado, so after I got out of college, I pointed my Jeep west and came to Colorado, started teaching a fourth grade up in Fort Collins, met my wife, another lovely blonde, and got married and settled down and had children and eventually came to CCU. It's been a joy.
You know, Bob, it's amazing. One of these days, I'd love to track just the Don Revert stream.
Yes.
And you have the Bo Mitchells and the Gary Ewans and then all the people they've impacted. It's the geometric effect of the gospel is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, and Don's a guy, you know, whose fingerprints are all over a lot of great stuff in the Denver area. And like you said, he's responsible. He was the instrument God used to get Bo, you know, to Christ, which
is amazing.
Know, yeah, it was that in and of, he could have retired after that.
You know, it's interesting. The first year that I was dean a few years back, we gave Don an honorary doctorate at our commencement ceremonies. And we were all in regalia and, you know, garb and things like that. And as we were walking by, I stopped, shook his hand, and mentioned the story. Mm. And he started crying. Mm. And he, I think it really dawned on him just what that exponential spider web effect is. You know, you never know who you're going to impact.
For Gee, Christ. I think there's something about that in the Bible, isn't there, Bob?
Well, quote it, Chuck.
No, that's what we have you for. You're the Bible answer guy.
Oh, anyway.
Yeah. We wanted to have you guys here today for a number of reasons, but one is there's a big event coming up, and I'd like you to tell us what's happening and how our listeners can get involved and what you need.
Sure. The big event coming up is on Thursday, April 23rd at the Denver Marriott Tech Center. It is our 13th yes. Values Aligned Leadership Summit. We refer to it as VALS, okay? And our own Chuck King started this 13 years ago, and I inherited it 5 years ago, and we keep offering this seminar. Basically, it's a business ethics seminar, and this year's theme is going to be focused around Colorado, believe it or not. The title is Liberty, Character, and the Future of Colorado, Promise or Peril. And when you think about it, no doubt there were a few infamous scoundrels in our state's history, but the pioneers who built the Colorado Territory and made it the 38th state were men and women of deep character and conviction. And whether it was in the craggy peaks of our mountains or the vast eastern plains, Colorado's been blessed with hardworking, honorable people that really lived by the code of the West, and that deep character ethic has preserved our freedoms. However, we now see our character ethic being chipped away in favor of self-gratification at the expense of others. Big idea, when we lose our honorable character, our ability to govern ourselves, the government will indeed step in with endless laws and regulations to guide our behavior. So we were going to be talking about the future of individual liberty being dependent on people of character and honor, and we're going to focus it in around Colorado. You know, I don't understand people who choose to live in New York, for example, versus Colorado. So we're going to focus on Colorado and try to get us back to that character ethic, that code of the West that we built this wonderful state on.
You know, that is so important. We talk in economics about the fact that the counterbalance to liberty is personal responsibility. Without personal responsibility, you can't have liberty.
Absolutely. And, you know, the big idea is, what's the future look like for Colorado, and can we leave a legacy of virtue that's going to protect the individual liberty of our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, and so on? And so the time is now, and the burden is on us to do this.
So tell us about the event itself. What's going to happen there, and how can people get involved? And
sure. There are still seats available, although we're filling up quick. We'll probably cut off registration fairly soon. You can go out to ccu.edu/VALS, V as in Victor, A-L-S. And then just click the registration button. And the event is free. We've raised money through sponsorships for the event. It starts at 9 a.m. You want to get there about 8:30 or so to find your seat and so on. But starts at 9 a.m. and ends at 3 p.m. And Paul will tell us a little bit about the program.
Yeah, it's VALS is a great day. One of the things that's really, I think, a neat distinction at VALS is we have about 350 undergraduate and graduate business students there, along with about 400 business leaders, nonprofit leaders from the Denver area. So there'll be about 750 of us at this event. One of the distinctions there, along with our students, is we take time throughout the day to do what we call table talk. And so the students and the business leaders have the opportunity at these tables, and we place students at every table to interact. We'll put up a discussion question, and then the students and the business leaders can discuss these issues, ethical issues typically. Provides a great opportunity for our students to glean some wisdom from those in the marketplace. But we've also, the most positive feedback we've had on VALS, even though we bring in some great speakers, and I'll talk about that in a minute, is this opportunity for our business executives to interact with our students. Hmm. Yeah.
You know, I was just thinking, and I know he's a hard guy to nail down, but for many years, Phil Anschutz has been a good friend of mine. And of course, Phil is a, to me, he's, you know, kind of the epitome of a Christian businessman. And he actually recently has written a book that talks about some of the main characters that actually shaped how many people out of our own area really shaped the whole West, called Out Where the West Begins. It's an amazing book. And anyway, just kind of to throw that out there for you. Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds like excellent.
Yeah. Chuck, we've got to get Phil on the show.
We
just
do
to talk about the book, because it's really extremely interesting. So anyway,
so our keynote speaker this year will be Cal Thomas, a syndicated columnist, Fox News contributor. He'll speak just after lunch. Larry Reed from the Foundation of Economic Education will be speaking. And interestingly, Larry spoke at CCU in the fall, and Gary and I both were there when he spoke. His whole thing, as a matter of fact, our theme for VALS, Liberty, Character, and the Future of Colorado, came from what Larry talked about at CCU last fall, and we were really inspired by that. Steve Green, the president of Hobby Lobby and president of Museum of the Bible, which will be opening in the next couple of years in Washington, D.C., will be there to receive the Values Aligned Executive Award. Steve will also be speaking. A number of our faculty from the School of Business will be speaking. So it's going to be a great day. It's always very inspiring, a lot of energy in the room. It'll be a lot of fun.
I assume that you could use more support for VALS in terms of finances?
Absolutely. As Gary said, you know, what we started doing, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago is actually providing our general admittance tickets for free to the event. I mean, obviously it takes an RSVP, so we know you're coming. And then the event is underwritten 100% by generous sponsors. And so we've had some great support, but we'd love to have anybody interested in a sponsorship in VALS go to the website. There's actually a place where you can send a link in to me to contact me, peldridge@ccu.edu, to talk about sponsorships for VALS.
Is there still an opportunity to get a table where you could bring a group of business executives with you?
There is, absolutely. As Gary said, we're filling up really fast. And the last 2 years, we've actually had to cut the RSVP list off. About a week or two before the event, about a week before the event. So we anticipate that'll happen again this year. But always room for sponsors. We're very thankful for the sponsors that we have. We have folks sponsoring from $1,500 to $30,000 this year. So,
and the event is April 23rd at the Marriott Denver Tech Center. I can echo what a couple of you said a while ago, that the highlight of the event for many of the executives is the opportunity to interact with students. I've had executives tell me, wow, I was asked questions I've never been asked before. Gary, talk about a little bit about the integration of faith in the classroom and why our students are capable of asking those kind of questions.
Yeah, one of the things that we really do specialize in the School of Business and Leadership is the infusion of faith in the classroom. We have a different model at CCU. We don't view our students as our customers. We view them as our clients, and we are their personal trainers. And we're preparing them for work after graduation, actually work while they're going to school as well. And their professors are all practitioner professors. So everybody comes with a wide array of experience in business and commerce, but we continue in business and commerce. Every one of us has our own consultant business and so on that we keep up with, and that keeps us sharp. We have small class sizes this year. Our class size is 19 and a half on average, and we get to know the students real well. We infuse the faith into every class period, and it isn't just merely a prayer at the beginning or a devotional. I mean, we literally teach from the scripture. And Chuck, you're one of the best faculty members that we have in doing that. I mean,
I got some money here. Let me.
Yeah, I was going to say I saw you guys talking before. So.
We don't have an ethics course at CCU. Back in 2001 or thereabouts, when Enron and everything happened, all the business schools scrambled to add ethics courses. We have ethics in every class that we offer, right? Straight out of the scriptures.
You know, Bob, if you'd get yourself a tie, you could come to class at CCU and learn something about business and about the Bible.
I'm just upset that I'm like not the guy teaching the Bible out there. You know, what's the deal, Armstrong? Pick it up. If you want to kind of take the school to the next level, I've got this idea
we
for
can
you.
Find, I bet we can find a spot for you if you make yourself available.
We'll have to pay for a wardrobe.
That's right.
That's right. Oh, brother. Well,
so Gary and Paul, couple moments for closing comments. What would you say to the general public and to any student who might be considering an education at CCU?
You know, CCU is distinct in a couple of ways. We're distinctly Christian, and the Board of Trustees has implemented a set of strategic objectives, 13 strategic objectives, and everything that we do at CCU circles around these strategic objectives, and they're inserted into the classroom, into chapel. It's a real key distinction about who we are. CCU is a special place. I mean, we talk a lot about community with our undergraduate students, and that really is one of the pieces that makes CCU a special place. But our academics, our incoming class every year, their ACT GPAs are increasing pretty significantly. Gary's talked a lot about the School of Business. The School of Business is really the point of the spear at CCU. They're doing some great work. We also have a School of Music, School of Theology, School of Education, School of Humanities and Sciences. Just a lot of wonderful things happening at CCU.
Hey, Chuck. Well, first of all, guys, we are so glad that you were here. And just as we're wrapping things up this morning, remembering that Bo is kind of with the Rockies today, I thought we ought to ask our listeners and all of us just to pray for one of the kids. John Axford is one of our new pitchers, and his little 2.5-year-old son down at spring training was bitten a number of times by a rattlesnake in the leg and is just having a horrible time. And they've really asked for a prayer. So I thought maybe as we quit today, why don't we just ask the Lord to touch little Jameson and bring some healing to him, Chuck. Is that okay?
Would you please do that? Yes.
Well, Father, together we come to you, and we're grateful that you have healing power. And Lord, you actually desire us to bring these kinds of things to you. And we want to pray for little Jameson today. We know that he's in tough shape and that the doctors are having a hard time figuring out how to treat this. And we would pray for you to intervene and for you to touch him today with your healing power and restore him. And we just pray that he wouldn't have to go through any more surgeries. And we pray for his folks, Lord, in a very difficult time, and ask for your comfort for them. And just thank you for Bo being there to be able to minister to the players on the team. So we ask this in your name, Christ.
You've been listening to You Get the Blessing with Bob Belts and Chuck King sitting in for Bo Mitchell. We've had two great guests today from Colorado Christian University. Please think about vowels and think about CCU in your future plans.
It's number one in the state.
Hey, take it away. Get that ball and fight.
Your school.